Welcome to Innovation Destination, the podcast channel for supply chain industry professionals. This episode is part of our Executive Perspective series, where we will hear from the C-suite of the electronics and manufacturing industry. Here's your host, Managing Editor of Supply Chain Connect, Tyler Fussner.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
If you could please introduce yourself to our audience.
Sure, I'd be happy to. My name is Tony Powell. I'm the CTO and co-founder of Orbweaver. Orbweaver was founded in 2012, and we are specific to the electronics manufacturing industry. Our job is to help solve some of the digital transformation challenges that companies are facing today in the space.
And I wanted to talk to you today about digital transformation. As one of the authors of the book, Digital Transformation in the Electronics Industry, I have a question for you. Maybe it's a simple one, maybe a pretty deep question, but what is digital transformation?
Yeah, actually, it is surprisingly simple. You'll hear me say this over and over, but the concept of digital transformation is actually fairly straightforward, and it winds up getting a little bit of a reputation for being something more complicated than it needs to be. So probably the right way to think about it is, in a business today, there are processes that are done very manually. A really good example is, let's say, a component manufacturer is assembling a list of parts to be distributed or sent, transmitted to their distribution network. In many cases right now, that's done manually. A person at that company might swivel chair to their manufacturing systems and see what a lead time looks like. And then they might swivel chair over to marketing, let's say, and they might pick up new data sheets and new spec sheets. And then they might swivel chair over to product management and pick up pricing and assemble that all together in a spreadsheet and then literally email that around. That is a really, really good example of something that can be digitized very, very simply and very easily and will save a lot of time. So anybody can take that data from those three systems that I just mentioned in that example, automatically assemble it in a way that is unified, and then transmit it to those trading partners or to those distribution partners in a way that they even prefer. Maybe they don't all like to get it in a spreadsheet. Maybe one of them wants to receive it via EDI. Maybe one of them wants to receive it, via CXML or via an API. And maybe somebody does like the spreadsheet. So that's really what digital transformation means. It means taking a business process that's really cumbersome and usually quite expensive. If you think about the way that that process would go, the way I described it, the price of that process is very high because you're paying a person to do that. And usually these are very high value employees that should be doing something else, like working on customer relationships or, working on sales or working in IT, as opposed to doing something simple like hand assembling a spreadsheet. Again, coming back to where I started, it really actually is quite simple. The right way to think about it is those complex processes that are right now being hand-done, taking those and making those happen in an automated and digital fashion.
And say I'm a business that has identified some cumbersome and manual processes in my operations, and I'm intrigued by the idea of digital transformation. How do I start? Where do I begin in that process?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that is a challenging part of this for many companies in the space. The key is to start small. You want to start being able to demonstrate value very quickly. Coming back to that example, let's say maybe you start with one of those trading partners. So instead of biting off the whole thing, okay, I'm going to go integrate these three systems. I'm going to transform that data into these three different formats I think we talked about and transmit those to my distribution partners. Start small. Talk to somebody, one of your distribution partners who's a friendly. Hey, say, hey, listen, I'm going to start this beta program. I'd really like your help. I'm going to get the data together. I'm going to start sending it over to you. I'd like your feedback. Does it work? What do you like? What do you don't like? And so I'd say that's really the key. Start small. Get some support around you. And you'd be surprised. Companies in this space, really, everybody is struggling with the same thing. And companies tend to do their digital work in isolation and turning to the left or right of you, turning to either a supplier or turning to a distribution partner or a customer and saying, hey, listen, I'm going to start this thing. Can you help me? That's really, really key. So those are the two big pieces for me. Number one, start small, look for wins that you can get quick. And number two, get support around you, get your trading partners involved in the process. get folks internal to your company involved in the process, and always look for feedback throughout the process.
And as it goes with change and implementing new processes, I'm sure there's always some trepidation, right, with making sure that things go smoothly. What are some of the challenges that you can anticipate if you're going through a digital transformation? I guess, are there any steps that I can take to prepare to maybe alleviate such challenges?
You hit the nail on the head with the question, right, which is to say change resistance. That is absolutely the biggest challenge that almost anybody is going to face out of the gate. I'd say there are two steps there. The first is communication. It's really important that people understand, both internal to your organization and external to the organization, that there is benefit. There is really no threat. We have never in our 13, 14 years of existence seen anybody lose their job as a result of automation. In fact, typically what winds up happening is automation, data automation, and digital transformation unlocks new business. That piece is key. Communicating to the folks in your organization or to your partners externally that you're starting something, making sure that they understand that this is going to be a net win for them. You're helping them. Your objective is not to harm them. Your objective is not to, you know, make change happen in a way that makes their life more difficult. The second piece of that is seek their input, ask questions, get them around the table and make them a part of the process. One of the things that we see a lot is digital transformation projects happen in a vacuum. Maybe a group of people go away for a year and they come back and they say, boom, here's our new quoting system, or here's our new data syndication system. And they haven't involved the people who are doing the actual quoting or the actual data syndication throughout that process. And all of a sudden now you have a really strong negative reaction because those people weren't included. They don't necessarily understand what's happening. And oftentimes without that core group of input, you are going to wind up with a digital process that doesn't necessarily match or doesn't necessarily meet the needs of the original manual process. So that inclusion, that communication, both internally and externally, is really, really key. And then what happens as a result of that is you win, you know, what I would call evangelists. You win over people, and they start to believe in you and what you're doing. Oh yeah, look, this is helpful to me. This really did make my life better and my job easier and make me more productive. So I think for me, that's really the key is, you know, communication and inclusion, making sure that everybody knows what's happening through the project. Hey, these are the steps that we're going to go through. When we get to the end of this, we're all going to sit around a table and look at it and make sure we agree that this new digital process is really what we want to launch. So yeah, again, getting stakeholder buy-in, making sure everybody is really clear about what is happening prior to the launch of even a soft launch of any digital project.
And Tony, what should businesses be on the lookout for? Maybe anything they need to keep in mind as they go through a digital transformation? Any red flags to identify or any green flags to identify as this is taking place?
Yeah, boy, that's a great question. I would say my absolute number one headline is the whole thing is a journey. And you need to approach it that way. So again, coming back to our same example, where we are looking at three systems internally, we're trying to automate the data coming out so that we can syndicate it outbound to our distribution partners as a small component manufacturer. What's going to happen as soon as we start that process is we're going to find out that maybe Betty, who runs the manual process, she probably does a lot of work in her head to, you know, reconcile lead times or to fill in gaps where data is blank. The digital transformation process is really a journey where you have to begin the technical process of getting integrations done, but there are going to be gaps where human beings do a lot of work in the middle. And that piece that we call, at Orbweaver, we call it the discovery process, that can be a little bit disconcerting. So keeping in mind that it is a journey and it is an experience, and there absolutely will be challenges, nothing will go quite as smoothly or as quickly as we all want it to. But embracing that process winds up being really, really valuable, and understanding that it's an opportunity to learn about your business. What's really going to happen, using that case specifically, and I hope there's no Betty out there that I'm specifically picking on, because I'm certainly not intending to do that. But taking this case specifically, you know, if we think about what Betty has in her head is an incredible wealth of information. And if you think about those in terms of a program, or software or digital transformation, that's an algorithm. So what Betty really has in her head is a huge amount of intellectual property, really, really valuable stuff that your company wants, that's exciting to get out of her head and automated, because now that gives you an opportunity to think about it in a new way. You know, instead of her just doing that process or that algorithm or that equation manually in her head, now there's an opportunity to do that, to for everybody to look at what is happening, to think about those systems, those processes in a different way. So that was a lot of words, but again, you know, the right way to really think about digital transformation is that it is a process. And then again, what will happen too is, you know, the excitement will continue to grow, we'll get more evangelists, and at the end of the project, what we will find is that we've learned something really interesting and maybe we want to go digitize something else. So it really, thinking of it as a journey allows for companies to continue to unlock value. And that's really what digital transformation is all about. It's very clear, right? I mean, it's all about money. I mean, that's the reality. We are a capitalistic society, and that perspective is important. So we do those two things by either increasing the throughput of business, you know, how much data can Betty send? Well, if we automate that, she could probably send more, increasing the volume or the transaction speed of business, the amount of business that is transacted, or number two, increasing the efficiency or the margins on that business. So if we have to pay a human being X number of dollars per hour to put those files together, if a computer can do it for a tenth of that price in a tenth of the time, now all of a sudden we've injected margin into that transaction. That's really the end goal, right, is some of those savings. But again, coming back to your question, it is absolutely a journey, and there's a lot to be learned as we go through these processes, ultimately all of which hopefully ends in some additional profit margin. That's ultimately, you know, either profit margin or market share are really the two big objectives of any digital transformation project.
Tony, I think you've touched on this next question I'm about to ask you a couple times at a high level, and I'm kind of excited to dive into this. What do you consider some tools or technologies or processes that become available to a business following their transformation? Maybe things that you can't do today unless you go through that process.
There are a number of upsides, but the one that is the most obvious, the one that happens in almost every single project that I'm a part of, is business intelligence. So coming back to the same example we've been tracing along, now let's say we've got these three systems integrated, we're pulling data in. What we now have is a centralized repository of part data. Instead of three fragmented systems with silos of data that are not connected to one another, if we get those three systems integrated together, now we have centralization of data. And that leads to business intelligence. So we can find out things like, okay, hey, we stood up an API to allow people to make calls for this. And we have this little, you know, maybe we have a product series over here that we thought was not very important. But oh, look, in the API, that makes up a disproportionately high number of the calls. Maybe 80% of the calls are for that part. But we don't have them because we think it's a small part of our business and we're not manufacturing very many of them. There are hidden pieces of intelligence that can really make significant material impact on a business just by looking at the data that is gained, the data that is centralized as a part of a good and healthy digital transformation journey. That is the absolute number one outcome for sure.
And what would be some business processes that you would place on the must list to digitize by the end of this year? I mean, particularly when we look at the electronic components industry. What do companies need to digitize to stay relevant?
I think right now, a lot of our customers come to us with needs, with questions, with challenges that they are facing. From my perspective, what we are seeing the most of right now is really a part data. It is the data necessary to transact. It's the basic level of data necessary to buy and sell parts in this industry. That part data is fairly complex. It's basic part information, it's marketing materials, but then it's also electrical characteristic data and parametric data. It's what I would call commercial data, you know, the data necessary to buy and sell those parts. I think that is really the key right now. You know, the push, I would say generally, is towards API, especially on the commercial data side, although that's not necessary. You know, ETL, and we have some content on our website about this, but there's no wrong digital format. If you choose ETL, that's a great format. If you choose EDI, that's fine. If you choose CXML, that's great. If you choose APIs, that's great. All of those different formats work very, very well. But ultimately, right now, you know, what customers are demanding, and if you talk to anybody in the space who's selling components, they'll almost certainly tell you the same. Customers really, really are looking for APIs. They're looking for really quick access to data. We learned during the supply chain crunch of, you know, I think the first one was, what, 2016, 2017. There was a pretty bad one in capacitors. And then, of course, the big one in COVID across the board. You know, we learned that access to data is really, really important. But what I'm hoping is that as an industry, we take this opportunity to go work on that. I think that's really where we need to be. So that was, again, a fairly long answer. But coming back to your question, for me, it really is part data and the basics to transact. Part data, price, availability, lead time, you know, quantity on hand. The basic information that a customer might want to look at and say, okay, yeah, I can buy this part now, or I can have this part in my loading dock in 2 or 3 weeks. And yes, this part fits my board, so excellent, I can go ahead and buy it. That's sort of step one for where we should all be thinking as members of this industry, participants in the supply chain. That is the basic piece of this puzzle that we need to be providing to our customers.
And Tony, say I'm a business that is ready to take this journey. I'm ready to go through a digital transformation and put these processes in place. How would I be able to lean into Orbweaver as I go through that digital transformation?
I have two answers, I think, to that question. The first is experience. We've been doing this for a long time. We have seen a very, very broad array of challenges, both technically and politically and from a data perspective. So we have a lot of experience across the board. It is very likely that something that, you know, maybe sounds impossible to you, or, you know, as a potential Orbweaver customer sounds absolutely crazy. Those are the things that we can help with. You know, just to give you some examples, we had a global component manufacturer that we did some work with a number of years ago, and they were having a really big challenge getting their data centralized internally and then re-quoting externally. Their quote times were taking probably, say, between 5 days on a good day and, you know, maybe up to 2 weeks on a bad day, and their customers were getting really, really frustrated. And we took that down to minutes per quote, just by getting the data organized, by allowing, you know, what was in Betty's head to be programmed as a part of an algorithm. We were able to take in an RFQ, match it up to data, very, very quickly assemble a quote, pre-assemble a quote. A quoter still looked at it, still said, hey, yep, this looks like the right thing. I want this to go. But we were able to do something like reduce the amount of time by 2 or 3 orders of magnitude, depending on the quote. Digitization can really do some very dramatic things. And so that's something to really lean into. If you're in a spot that feels impossible, that feels really, really challenging, Orbweaver has a lot of experience. We're really, really good at this stuff. And we probably have seen it before, believe it or not. The second piece to that is very large data sets. We call ourselves, I think, enterprise-grade data integrators. And that really means big volumes of data. So lots of our customers, you know, in this industry, there is just so much data. You know, even the simplest component manufacturer with the simplest part, a single part probably has upwards of 1,000 pieces of data associated with it by the time you mix in pricing matrices, spec sheets, electrical characteristic data, shipping information, NCNR data, compliance data. There's just a host of things that go along with us. Just the single tiny, even the simplest MLCC on the planet that wind up being really, really complex. And so that turns into big, big volumes of data. As an example, we have an API that we've enabled for a couple of the large global distributors. And on average, when they really open that up to their customer base, they might get 20 or 30 million calls a day. And there are points during the day, you know, right before lunch happens to be a really, really busy time for whatever reason. Maybe it's when the coffee is really kicking in. But right before lunch, there are times when we'll get bursts for a single distributor, maybe 3 or 4 million calls for parts over the span of maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And I know those numbers sound crazy, but the reality is that that is the volume of data that, again, even a very small company in this space has to deal with. And that's a lot to do manually. those challenges that seem really, really tough to overcome from a data perspective, from a digital perspective, you know, both in terms of complexity and data volume, that's really where Orb Weaver shines. Our experience in the data space and our experience, our specificity to electronics manufacturing and this supply chain allow us to do some really, really interesting things that we're very proud of. If you look at, let's say, our API times compared to the average API, you know, that we are not powering in the supply chain, we're probably about a fifth of the time, one fifth. So the average is just under a second, and we run between 100 and 200 milliseconds. And that we're really proud of that. That goes to the core of our business where, you know, we spend a lot of our time, well, we spend all of our time, all of our professional time doing just this exact thing, the digital transformation of these processes. And that leads to our ability to deal with really complex and really challenging high data volume problems in a way, again, that really appears like magic. Some of our customers, you know, can hardly believe the things that we are able to accomplish. But again, to us, because we've seen them before and because we've been through them before, that is, to us, just part of what we do. Again, circling back to your question, even if you don't want to necessarily use us as a data integrator, I would say lean on us for information. We're a pretty friendly group of people. We're always happy to pick up the phone and have a conversation. Lean into us for our experience, for the information that we can provide, for the tooling that we have, for the expertise that we have. Those are really things that we can bring to bear that help these digital projects move along a lot more seamlessly than they might with somebody, let's say, from outside the industry, as an example.
Tony, what is in store for Orb Weaver in 2024, and what do you think the rest of the year looks like for the electronic components industry?
I touched on this a little bit, I think, a couple questions ago, but I think right now we're in a little bit of a sort of a golden zone where we are between what was a very challenging time in this space. Our business tends to be a leading indicator. People are working very hard during this quiet period to get ready for another big wave. And so I think 2024 is a period of relative calm that we should all use very strategically. That is what I think. I think this is a time for taking on digital projects. I think this is a time for making part data available. I think this is a time for, you know, reflecting on the challenges that happened in the supply chain over the last few years. And as individual companies, making sure that when we come into the next wave of these challenges, that those don't occur again. You know, I heard it said somewhere pretty recently that, you know, the supply chain crunches are just a natural part of the electronics manufacturing supply chain. And I would actually argue a little bit that those are actually the effect of a lack of clarity, lack of clear data. We all went through a very challenging time over the last few years, and I think 2024 and maybe even into early 25 is a period of calm. It is a time for us to really circle the wagons, think about what went wrong during the supply chain breakdown that we're just starting to come out of, and be ready for the next time. And if we're ready for it, then it won't happen. That's the really good news. If we get a good, healthy supply chain infrastructure that is digital in place, you know, we'll be able to get through the next. Now, I'm not saying there won't be necessarily a demand. You know, I know demand ebbs and flows. There will absolutely be ebbs and flows in the marketplace and in the supply chain. But if we have good, solid digital underpinnings, good, solid digital infrastructure in place, that's going to really remove a lot of the pain. Now, unfortunately, the folks who don't digitize are probably going to get left behind. And we did see some of that happen in the COVID crunch. My fear is that that's going to get a little bit more exaggerated the next time because the expectations continue to build. The buying expectations, people are bringing, you know, sort of the Amazon mentality to this industry. And so as younger talent comes into the space, you know, younger buyers are not okay with emailing a spreadsheet and waiting 2 weeks for a response. They want to know if you have the part on your loading dock ready to ship today and if they can have it tomorrow. And they're going to go to the first person who can respond. So there's a lot less, I would say, brand loyalty. There's a lot less affiliation, I would say, in the marketplace. It's a little bit less personal maybe than it was a couple of decades ago. And it's much more now about performance. And again, I think this is a time, a quiet period for us to really focus as an industry on getting that performance, that supply chain performance in place, so that when the next crunch comes, you know, or the next demand wave comes, if we can respond to that quickly, then that's something to take advantage of. It's not something to be feared. It's not even necessarily a bad thing. It's something that we all know that happens in the space. And if we can get ready for it, then as individual companies, there's tremendous opportunity in being able to be the one who can respond effectively and digitally and support the supply chain during some of those challenging times, which, you know, these lulls, as we know, are always temporary, and we know that there's something at the end of it. And if we can be ready for that, that is absolutely an opportunity. And digital transformation is really the right way to prepare for that. That is the way to meet the supply chain's expectations, which absolutely are evolving over time. And I think this is the time to do it.
Tony, I want to thank you again for joining us today. It was a great conversation with a lot of great information. So thank you for taking time and sharing your expertise.
Absolutely. Yeah, Tyler, likewise. Thank you for having me. Thanks for the good questions, and thanks for your time as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Innovation Destination. Follow us online at supplychainconnect.com or find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter to stay up to date on the latest supply chain industry news. Do you have any questions, or is there a topic you would like us to cover in a future episode? Please contact us at editors@supplychainconnect.com. That's EDITORS@supplychainconnect.com.